Well, good morning, guys. It's welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you, big book study. My name is Kelly S. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, and I'm from Tulsa, Oklahoma. So today is Tuesday, June 4th, 2024. This is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time, a vision for you meeting. Today, we're reading from the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in There Is a Solution. On page 23, second paragraph, it says, once in a while, he may tell the truth, through one paragraph ending with, they are down for the count. And comments will just be on that one paragraph. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Susan G., 12 Traditions, Lois G. Lynn S. is going to be reading our text, Nancy R. reading page 164, and Vanita L. is our backup. Newcomer greeter today is Chris W., and our second hour host is Eileen M. The reference number for yesterday, Monday, June 3rd, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 21453, 21453. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Time code was 21454, 21454. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, quote, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers, end quote. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now have Susan G. read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Susan.
Hey, good morning. This is Susan G., Tennessee, recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks, and I'll pass.
Thanks, Susan. All right, now Lois G. will read our 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Lois. Lois, star one.
Oh, sorry. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself, in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service.
Well, thanks for your service, Liz G. So here's how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. So to share, you'll press star 1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. All right, so today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in There Is a Solution, because there is a solution. We're on page 23, second paragraph. It says, once in a while, he may tell the truth, through one paragraph ending with, they are down for the count. Comments on that one paragraph. And Lynn S. from Canada is going to get us started. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning, Kelly. Good morning, Vision. My name is Lynn S. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Once in a while, he may tell the truth. And the truth, strange to say, is usually that he has no more idea why he took that first drink than you have. Some drinkers have excuses with which they are satisfied part of the time, but in their hearts, they really do not know why they do it. Once this malady has a real hold, they are a baffled lot. There is the obsession that somehow, someday, they will beat the game, but they often suspect they are down for the count. How true this is in my life. How true. My mouth would be yapping and have all these excuses on why I'm doing it. But the whole time, even when I was trying so hard to convince myself, this is why I've yet again picked up the food after I swore to myself I wouldn't do it again. I swore I wouldn't do it again because it is so heartbreaking. But at the flip of a switch, there I was doing it again. And what was really so painful underneath the whole thing was while my mouth was saying why and it's their fault, my, you know, if you had my job, you'd eat too and blah and blah and blah. What the real sadness was underneath the whole thing was in my heart, I honestly didn't know why I was doing it. And the confusion, the divine discontent, the pain of my heart ache. Why am I doing this again? And knowing that no matter how many times I said, this time it'll be different, tomorrow I'll start again, Monday's coming, I'll just finish this whole white slab cake, then it'll be over. Even while I was saying that and trying so hard to really mean it, to really believe it. I knew I was down for the count. I knew it. And that was the heartbreak of this disease. You know, we talk about the program being the language of the heart. And often I think when we're talking about the language of the heart, I think of the uplifting moments and how we reach out to each other and how God touches our heart and how we're lifted up. But this morning, this is just reminding me that this was also the language of my heart a bit, you know, that heart that knew that I was down for the count, the heartbreak that I don't know why I'm doing this. But thank you, God, there is a way out. It's outlined in the first 164 pages of our text, plus the 7 or whatever it is in the doctor's opinion. And with each other and with God's grace and mercy, we are lifted up and out of this. And with this, I'll pass.
Thanks, Lynn. Perfect timing. Okay, guys, so we're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So that means if you shared last Friday or yesterday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share. And I'll actually tell you time. I'll remind you when your time's up. So please give me your first name, initial of your last name, and where you are calling from.
Nick F. Tennessee.
Janet B.
Nick
Janet
F.
B.
Adrian
N.
Rick
P.
J.
I just got Nathan
Mary
and Rick.
Oh, Mary B. from the UK.
I couldn't understand the UK.
Adrian N.
Adrian. Somebody
Ian
needs
F.
to mute. There's a lot of... Who? Ian? Okay, got you, Ian. Somebody from the UK.
From the UK, Mary B. from the UK.
Mary. Okay, got you, Mary. I have Nick, Janet, and Rick. Who?
Ann P.
Ann P. All right, let me tell you who I heard. So Nick, Janet, Rick, Mary, Adrian, Ian, and Ann. If you said your name and I didn't get it, who was it?
John S. from Maryland.
John, okay. That looks like a good start. So if you guys can make sure you're muted, press *1. And here's our lineup. Nick, then Janet, then Rick, Mary, Adrian, Ian, Ann, John. If you give me your state when you're calling, it's so that we can find you on the member list. So Nick F., you are up first, followed by Janet B. Good morning, Nick. Nick, *1.
Sorry about that. I'm Nick F. in Tennessee, compulsive overeater. You know, I found out my why since I've been living in solution. I wanted to die. I wanted more death, and I wanted to keep on dying until I didn't, until the food no longer worked. You know, I'm thoroughly convinced that I was using cupcakes dressed up like bullets. You know, the bullets was dressed up like cupcakes, and all these different things that I was using to try to take my own life. But, right, it was okay for me to blame it on my husband. It was to society. It was okay to blame it on my kids. It was okay to blame it on my job, you know. And so I ran all of them off, and I found myself with a, you know, I imagine a 68-inch. I'll take 10 just so I won't be, you know, telling a white lie. Even if I was 58 inches wide and round, you know, I wanted to die. I couldn't move. 33 years old, I had no sex drive, no desire to live. I had given my kids away. The dog was gone. The car was lost. The job was gone. And I had ran my husband off as well. I ate because I couldn't live with my eyes open. So I was dying every day, every moment of every day I wanted to die. But, you know, it's crazy to me that since coming in vision, I'm trying to get so close to God now that I want to read his lips. Like, I have my children, a baseball player and a boxer, and my son's joined the Army. And this is my first year as a mom, an active citizen in life. My 13-year-old had a birthday yesterday, and everything that came in the way of celebrating that birthday, I was able to say, this is not about me, this is about my kid. People, you know, my mom, she didn't have the ability, like, she was asking me to take her place, and I said, this is about this baby. So I had my mom, my dad, and my 13-year-old son and his girlfriend, and we were able to celebrate his life. Now, I want to live so bad now that I risk, you know, I just take risk. You know, there are people on this line who are saving lives, pioneers. You know, there's Bill W. and Ebby Thatcher, but then we got Harlan and Melissa and Susan T. We got names, and I apologize that I dropped names, but it's like I'm so grateful that there are people here that take this disease as seriously as I take it, that all I can do is name names. But I found out recently in asking a question, not getting the question answered the way that I wanted it to be answered, that you better be careful who you put on a pedestal, because this thing ain't about a pedestal. This is about my life. I don't need to be impressed with somebody else's story when I got a story myself. And my story is between me and God at the end of the night. I'm either killing myself or I am dying to live. And I choose to die to live today. Relapse is not an option for me. I don't have a good day and a bad day in the food. Every day in the food is a bad day. And I really try hard to watch my language, because this thing is so passionate inside of me. People out here dying from Big Macs and double cheeseburgers, and we worried about a cuss word. I don't cringe at that kind of stuff. I don't cringe at crackheads and alcoholics and compulsive overeaters. I'm all of that on the inside.
Fine.
With the power of God, my entire life has changed. So I'm glad to be here. Thank you, family.
Well, thank you so much, Nick F. from Tennessee, and Janet B., and then followed with Rick J. Good morning, Janet.
Hi, good morning, Kelly. Good morning, everyone. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. Oh, my gosh, that last share when it was, I want to be close enough to God to read his lips. Awful things I have ever heard. Okay, so in this paragraph, it says in their hearts, they really do not know how to do it. Well, I kind of knew why I did it. I'd been around the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous for close to 7 years, and I learned enough to know that I had an obsession that was stronger than me, that no matter how much willpower I exerted, I could do nothing about it. Okay, I knew that. That knowledge got me nowhere. I mean, it would be like someone who goes to an oncologist's office, the oncologist shows them an MRI or whatever kind of scan, says, see, now you have knowledge. Now you really know that you have cancer. Now go home and make your cancer cells stop multiplying. Well, a doctor would never say that. But that's kind of what was said to me for so long. Okay, great. Now you know you're a compulsive eater. Now stick to a food plan. But my problem wasn't lack of knowledge or lack of desire, by the way, because I wanted to stop more than anything in the world. I had the knowledge that I was a compulsive eater, that I had an obsession. I had the desire, but what I didn't have was the power. And to me, that is so critical that our big book says lack of power. That was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves. They say the purpose of this book is to teach me how to find this power, this God. And it can start with a prayer, right? God, I'm not sure what you like, but I'll surrender to you as much as possible. And then I live my life trying to do what I think this God would have me do, to be kind to others, to not lie at all, to live a life of honesty, to live a life of self-sacrifice, to live a life trying to get close enough to God to read his lips. And when I surrender my whole life to him, then I have access to this power. And that alone is the solution to compulsive eating, accessing this power that God gives us, this miraculous, loving power. And once we get it, all we have to do is keep our side of the street clean and help others put their hand in the hand of God. And that's all I got. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Janet B. Next up, we have Rick J. followed by Mary B. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Kelly. Thank you for your service. My name is Rick J. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina as well. And wow, you know, this obsession that somehow, someday, I'll beat the game. And I tried. I tried for decades to beat the game. I was going to muster every bit, every ounce of my will, my determination, which had worked so well for me in so many other areas of my life. You know, all I have to do is just focus, strap on my boots, drop that bulldozer blade and floor it, and I usually could get whatever I needed, you know. And of course, I was also an extreme example of self-will run riot, though I usually didn't think so. But that obsession, you know, I had this obsession of the mind, you know, that was taking me back to the thing that was destroying me. And then as soon as I took a bite, as soon as I took that first bite, the physical allergy would kick in. So I was constantly lighting a fuse to a whole big bundle of dynamite constantly, and then trying to, you know, to somehow beat the game of that fuse igniting and exploding. You know, it was killing me. You know, and more about alcoholism, you know, it starts off, you know, talking about that great obsession that somehow, someday, we will be, you know, control and enjoy, you know. And I wanted so much to stop. I wanted so much to stop, and I tried everything. You know, there is a solution is also telling me that there is a problem. And although the word addiction isn't used, you know, welcome to addiction. You know, addiction is real. And I really, truly didn't believe that I could be addicted to food. I really didn't. And that's such a relief to know that just by following the directions, doing the spiritual actions, living in this program that connects me to a power that can resolve my problem. It can solve my problem, you know, and I just do it today. You know, everybody shares, Lynn and Nick and Janet, you know, it's like, yeah, I am one, and I am willing to go to any length to change today. But it's just for today. You know, what the spiritual actions I take today are taking me in the solution and keeping me in the solution. If I do the action.
Fine.
With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Rick J. All right, next up we have Mary B., followed by Adrian M. Good morning, Mary.
Oh, good morning. My name is Mary. I am a recovered compulsive eater in the UK. Thanks for taking the meeting. Thanks for everybody who registered and made it possible. And yeah, the great obsession of every abnormal drinker is trying to control and enjoy their drinking and trying to beat the game. My goodness, I didn't realise that for 14 years in a way I had been trying to beat the game until last year when I really truly surrendered to an honest definition of abstinence from compulsive eating. And my various methods of trying to control and enjoy and beat the game included things that went underground, like exercise and overexercise and denial, just denial, you know, always wanting to be in control of what I was having when I was having, and never really, really, really surrendering the mental obsession. And how I did that was to get honest about the physical side of this disease for me, which is, you know, it is once I start, I can't stop. And once I stop, I can't manage that decision to stay stopped. And it always brings me into that second part of step one, the unmanageability is caused by the obsession of the mind, not by the physical effects of compulsive eating, not by the consequences, but by the obsession of the mind. And the obsession of the mind in that automatic way of thinking without the power of a solution that lies outside of me will blindside me every single time. And my disease is sneaky, it dresses itself up. That's why I need to stay very, very close as well to 10, 11 and 12. I do love what I've heard this morning about getting as close to God as I can so that I can read his lips. And that brings up some great visualization and imagery in my mind today. So I'm very grateful that I was able to attend this meeting and hear that message. And, you know, I'm so passionate about this solution for compulsive eating. I am a fully paid up member of AA as well, and the compulsion and the desire to drink was lifted for me very, very quickly. But it's been a longer, harder process in OA, and that has been because I've made it difficult for you, just not being able to really, really trust and surrender. And now I do believe that my higher power is in charge, you know, and that I will be able to match calamity with serenity, as the book says, where I choose to walk in that path rather than my own self-will. So very good to have the opportunity to share today, and thank you for listening.
Well, thank you, Mary B. And next up, we have Adrian M., followed by Ian F. Good morning, Adrian.
Good morning, it's Adrian N. as in Nancy from Florida.
Oh, thanks.
And, you know, my sponsor keeps pushing me to share. And I don't know what it is. Is I get such anxiety after I give my name until I'm called. And what am I going to say, and how am I going to say it, and how will I come across? And I just have to say that until I could get comfortable sharing and share honestly from my heart and not from this anxiety that I feel my heart pounding in my throat, I'm just going to just keep saying my name, that I'm Adrian N. from Florida. And I love all of you. I listen to you. I get something out of all of you. I don't know why I have all this anxiety about opening up my mouth on the phone. But thank you for listening. I pass.
Well, thanks, Adrian. Thanks for your courage. It's good to hear you. All right, next up we have Ian F. followed by Ian P. Hey, Ian. Good morning.
Hi, this is Ian F. out of New Albany, Indiana. That's new. I'm listed as Kentucky. But very grateful to be here. And that baffled lot bit is sticking in my brain because I was on a call with someone yesterday who asked probably the most pertinent question that anyone in this program can ask, which is, why do I keep doing this? You know, and I remember asking my sponsor the same question. Like, I'm here. I've identified the foods that are alcoholic to me, and I want to be abstinent. And I'm a disciplinarian. You know, I'm a really good anorexic. I was raised doing martial arts. My dad is a real hard ass. You know, I know how to be disciplined, and yet I find myself hand to mouth when I'm trying to prep abstinent food. So why do I keep doing this? And the only answer to that I can think of, having been here for a little bit, is I'm a compulsive overeater. It's actually not a complicated question to answer, you know. And if you want to get into the minute details, it's theology of the body and the obsession of the mind. But the why is not the spiritual question. And I hear that a lot. It's not a spiritual question. That doesn't mean that it's bad to question things that you don't understand, but to me, because I have a disease of the brain, I can't let my brain play a huge role in my recovery. I just can't, you know, and so when you're in that place of like, why am I doing this? You know, the only thing that can't be done is to say, okay, what do I do next? You know, there's a chapter in this book called How It Works. There's not a chapter in this book called Why It Works. And we can come up with a million different ways or reasons for why it works, and many of them are probably valid. But so much of this recovery is, okay, I have a next step to do. I'm going to take that step. What do I do when I take that step? The next one. That's all we got. Not too much thinking in it. So that's what I got to share. Love y'all. I'll pass.
Well, thanks, Ian F. And before we move on, let me remind you guys where we're at, just in case you didn't jump on early. We're in There's a Solution, big book, of course. Page 23, second paragraph. Once in a while, he may tell the truth. Through that paragraph ending with, they are down for the count. So we're going to keep our shares going with Ann P., followed by John S. Good morning, Ann.
Hi, this is Ann P. from Maryland, and this just really inspires me quite a bit because, you know, I spent so much of my life trying to understand why. Just trying, you know, it was my relationship with my mother. It was my relationship with my grandmother. It was my relationship with my father, yada, yada, yada. And I had a mother-in-law who was a psychiatric social worker who used to say that understanding is the booby prize. And I, at the time when she said it, I thought it was really harsh, but in a way it's really true because it doesn't matter. What matters is the solution. What matters is committing to understanding. I have a disease. I am a compulsive overeater. I cannot control it. It doesn't matter why I can't control it. I can't control it, and I have to turn it over to God. And when I do that, my life is so incredible. I used to make people my higher power, and I think that would work for a while, but then something would happen. And with my commitment to God as my higher power, I am never alone. And I am so grateful that for that. With that, I'll pass.
Well, thanks, Ann P. Next up, we're going to have John S., and then we'll be opening up for more shares. So, good morning, John.
Hi, good morning. This is John. I'm a compulsive overeater from Maryland. I just wanted to say that this program has really been a lifeline for me. Last year, this time, I was looking to have bariatric surgery, and I was sitting in the patient's lounge, and there was a flyer, and on it was a fork, and it said, Is your eating overwhelming you? And I looked at it, saw the phone number, and realized that the meeting, the face-to-face meeting, was within, you know, 10 minutes, less than 10 minutes from my house, and joined my first meeting, and I've gone ever since. Say it. For those of us out there that don't have a sponsor, difference to me, but it took me a year to figure that out. So I would suggest that why waste a year? Do it as early as you can. This is not you trying to figure it out. You got yourself here. Your sponsor can help you move towards the next step, hold you accountable, be there to be listened to, and can really make a wonderful difference in your recovery. As I look forward, I'm looking forward to the future with optimism that I'm going to stay on course, stay within the group, and get to my goal weight that I'm looking forward to. And I wish everyone a positive experience in OA. With that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, John S. Okay, so we're going to be opening up, or I'm opening up the line for more shares. Again, I value your experience. I don't know about anybody else, but I do. But please limit your sharing to every third day, which means if you shared last Friday or yesterday on any meeting, then give others an opportunity. So who would like to share on that second paragraph on 23?
Deborah M.
Chris M.
Nancy P.
Chris M.
Nancy
P. Okay.
Ken. Got you, Nancy. Chris N. Deborah, Chris, Nancy, Kim.
Benita L.
Benita.
Joanne P.
Joanne P.
Denise P.
Denise P. Let's stop there. I have Deborah, Chris, Nancy, Ken, Benita, Joanne, and Denise. So if you guys can press star one, make sure you're muted. Deborah, can I get the initial of your last name and where you're calling from? And then we'll follow with Chris. You're up, Deborah.
Yes, Deborah M. from Western New York, recovered compulsive overeater.
All right,
so,
you're up.
Yeah, great. You know, we learn that life is the problem. Buildup of emotions is the problem. And I heard on the meeting years ago, which really set me free at such a different level, was, you know, I have no control of what happens in my life, and I respond to it by eating. It was like Pavlov's dog. Something happened to me, I would pick up something to eat. When I would train my dog, I would tell him to sit. But he sat, I gave him a treat. And after a while, he would just sit. If I said sit, I didn't even have to give him a treat. But something was ingrained in his brain that when he heard certain words, he would expect food. I was watching TV the other day about dogs who are trained that way, who actually went in with dynamite and went in to explode during a war of the enemy. And I thought, wow, that is such a picture of us. So what I had heard and learned and how I believe is, what actions I take, according to the program, according to my sponsor, actually changes the pathway of my brain. When I started to weigh myself or weigh the food, when I started to give my food away, when I started doing the 10 steps, something in my brain, with the help of God, all Him, I just took the action steps. It changed. Somehow, I was able to recognize, this is a crazy thought about picking up food, that that's the best solution. I recognized that was not me. It was the disease. And so I continue to, you know, encourage people, encourage myself, take the action steps. I don't always understand. I take them and believe God meets me there at that place. But as I take the action steps, it's contrary to what my life has been. And there is a new understanding, a new awareness of this thought is a crazy thought. I'm not going to pick it up. But I really believe, and I'm also in the medical field, that there's new pathways in my brain. And as I take the action, it somehow diverts it from the old, okay, I'm sad today, I'm going to eat. I had no control over my reaction to that. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Deborah M. All right, next up we have Chris, followed by Nancy P. Chris, I didn't get the initial of your last name and where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Chris M. as in Mary. I'm from New York. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, yeah, thank you. I've been in the program a long time, since 1986. And, you know, I'm, you know, like most of us, I want to figure it out, and then I want to do what I have to do. And, well, I thought I was going to do what I had to do, but I didn't really understand everything. And I did figure out early on that there was something wrong with my brain, that something was wrong with my thinking. And I also knew that I needed to stay away from flour and sugar, because when I ate flour and sugar, not only did it cause me to gain weight, it made my thinking very foggy. It made me feel drunk and checked out. It made me crazy, so to speak. So I knew those two things. And, you know, like it says, you know, we don't know why we eat. We don't know why we don't even know why we eat. Why do we betray ourselves? And the thing I got wrong was that, okay, I knew those two things. Stay away from the alcoholic foods, and the problem really is in my mind, first and foremost, and then my body reacts when I put the substance in. But I also thought, okay, I have to figure out how to fix my mind. So that's what I had done for many, many years. Let me go back to school. Let me change my relationship. Let me go to church. Let me, you know, if I could do this or that, if I, you know, start that business I wanted to start. I mean, boy, oh boy, I jumped through a bunch of hoops trying to fix my brain. And now I'm realizing, guess what? I can't fix my own brain. It requires a divine intervention, and it truly, truly does. Like, I don't have the skills to fix my own brain. And the other part is the buildup of emotions and not being in fit spiritual health. You know, I'm eating because I'm disturbed, and I don't always recognize that I'm disturbed, or maybe I'm so used to being disturbed that I think, okay, I'm disturbed and I'm going to deal with it. So now it's, you know, I'm back in the program and working, and there's more clarity, and it, like, it's be revealed to us, and it is being revealed to me today. And I have to do the stuff that the steps tell me to do to wipe, kind of clear myself of that emotional stuff that is always going to send me back into the sugar and the flour, because I know then my mind will be altered and I'll feel off the hook. You know, I won't be on the hook.
Fine.
It's emotional stuff. Thank you. So, yeah, that's what I'm getting out of it these days. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Chris. All right. Next up, Nancy P., followed by Ken W.H. Good morning, Nancy.
Hey, good morning. Nancy P., recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. So I don't, I never really asked why. I as soon as I got into that space of why, it was like I was in the weeds, you know, like trying to walk through a swamp, and I was, you know, it's like being dragged down by weeds. I was covered with lint, and there was no sticky roller to take it off, you know, whatever it is, like whatever the metaphor you like is. I was just covered with, you know, something that I couldn't get rid of. And, you know, especially abstinence, because I was always asking, if I'm abstinent, then why am I still so angry? And, you know, the planets just never aligned for me. And I thought about things, I think about things as equations. You know, each side of the equal sign has to be the same. And it just never was. And I remember, you know, I took my son to the doctor once when he was really little, and I had a very good relationship with the doctor. And she said she didn't know what the problem was. And my reaction was, what do you mean? I paid my copay, fix my kid. You know, I felt like I had done my part and she wasn't doing her part. And that's how I felt about, you know, my relationship with food. If I just put the food down, then, you know, everything should be okay. And it never was. And not only that, but I didn't want to stop. What I wanted to do was to eat and be thin, also to have friends, to do well at work, and have people react to me in a positive way. And I never really thought about stopping. I couldn't fathom it, really, at all. I was too busy roaring my way through life. And, you know, my own personal experience is that the cruelest part of this disease was that I thought I could control the situation if only, you know, X, Y, or Z. If I could get into work early enough, if I could be in a gathering with others, and, you know, act in a way, keep my mouth shut, or do something other than what I did. And all the catastrophes, all the humiliations, all the toil and trouble, none of it worked, least of all abstinence. And, you know, as a group, we compulsive overeaters on this line especially are super smart. We've got nurses, we've got doctors, we've got lawyers, we've got teachers, researchers, engineers, finance people, you know, real estate people, you know, you name it, we do those things, and we do them well. But, you know, I had to be beaten down so that finally I shut up and listen. And I think that should be one of the tools, shut up and listen, you know, Nancy. Don't just be thinking that you know because you've been in the program for so long. How did that go for you? Not very well, until I shut the F up and listened. And when I did that, then I could see. I didn't have to jump from the beginning, from the first step to the 12th step. There were all these other ones in between that I took my time with my sponsor to do. And you know what? I changed. And not only did I changed pretty quickly. I mean, it didn't take like 10 years, like medical school or something like that. It didn't take that long. And I changed, I would say, permanently. And there's only, you know, I got to say, you know, say it with me, surrender, surrender, surrender. But how do I stay surrendered? That's the key. And the answer is with all of the other people that I talk to all the time. And I'm so forever grateful. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Nancy P. All right, next up, Ken W.H., followed by Vanita L. So good morning, Ken.
Good morning. Thank you so much. This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive eater from North Carolina. I have become convinced. I always wanted to know the answers. I always wanted to figure things out. That's just part of what I can figure this out. I'm smart enough to figure this out, whatever it is. But I've become convinced that why question, the what question, the where, all those, that's for me, it's embedded in the obsession of the mind. It became obsessive to know why and what and where and when and all those questions. That's just a part of my obsessive thinking and a part of my disease, to want to know why. A long time ago, the first part says, once in a while he may tell the truth. And a long time ago, a man with a lot of power to determine life or death for other people was in that kind of a position. He asked a question of someone and he said, what is truth? And the person responded not as though he was asked a why or when, where. He responded with himself and a who. Who is the truth? And I've come to understand that the truth is God. And that if I don't turn to God, I don't have a prayer to find out how to fix it, because I don't know. I am a baffled lot. And it took a long time for me to accept the fact that in some areas of my life, I am thoroughly baffled why things are the way they are. And then I've come to know that I don't have to ask that question. I can just ask who. Who will solve this problem for me? Who will save me from myself, so to speak? And so I have come to know that if I don't turn to God above all else first, I'm toast. No pun intended. Sorry. Thank you. I'll pass for the day. Take care.
Thank you so much, Ken W.H. Next up, Vanita L., followed by Joanne P. Good morning, Vanita.
Good morning. Vanita L. from Woodstock, recovered compulsive overeater. And just happy to share, to belong, and to participate today. You know, I was listening to a sponsor this week trying to figure, you know, the disease out, and I realized, like, that was fruitless, you know. But also, on the other hand, like, when I committed to, you know, not eating alcoholic food and sticking with, you know, a normal portion of food and stuff like that, and I had parameters about when I could eat and when I couldn't eat, you know, some of the reasons for why I was eating were revealed to me through that process. And I'll never forget, and I've said it before, that I was leaving work one day. I was driving home. I was super stressed about something that happened at work. Of course, I don't remember what it is. But I remember thinking I should go get a milkshake. And I realized that I wanted the milkshake, right, to calm me down and to solve this problem. And I saw the insanity of how a milkshake wasn't going to solve this problem, whatever it was at work. And that was really fascinating to me. And I was like 50 years old at the time, because I had never gotten the connection that I was eating to help pacify my emotions. And one of the biggest gifts I've gotten from vision is, even though I was doing 10 steps before, was how crucial they are. And so that I stay relatively peaceful and don't get super disturbed or get too hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, you know, that I am going to turn to the food. And loneliness is a huge one. Loneliness, I've noticed, maybe is like, well, yeah, but loneliness is a big one. Anyway, thank you for all being here.
Thank you so much, Juanita L. Next up is Joanne P., followed by Denise P. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joanne P. from Pennsylvania. So grateful to be here. This paragraph really speaks to me because I spent most of my life trying to control my eating and thinking that I knew how to do everything, fix everything, and, you know, the whole bit. Until as the disease progressed and I got worse and physically ill, I, by the grace of God, found OA. Just through my therapist. And just me noticing her losing weight during COVID. And, you know, here I am. This paragraph, once in a while, he may tell the truth. I never realized how much I didn't tell the truth. And then, you know, after I got in and read the doctor's opinion and realized the obsession of the mind, that's where this addiction begins. It's in our mind, you know. I thought I could control this, and the truth of the matter is I have no power. Our problem is we lack power. We have lost the power of choice. So, yeah, as I started to work with steps, I continued to pick up, and it was like, what are you doing? You know, what were you thinking, you know, before you took that first bite? And I honestly had not a clue. I had no idea why I took a taste of this and a taste of that after having complete neutrality. And yeah, it wasn't until I understood, out of my desperation, I understood that the honesty and the willingness and the humility of working these steps made me realize you really have to abandon yourself to your higher power and accept everybody and just know that only God can do for you what you can't do for yourself. So I was a baffled lot, and I felt like I was down for the count, doomed to a life of being fat. And by the grace of God, here I am working with all you wonderful people and just knowing this is a WE program. And I'm so thankful for the change in my life, having worked these 12 steps and abandoning myself to my higher power and experiencing a serenity and a peace and a joy that only can be given through working these steps and spreading completely. With that, I pass. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thanks, Joanne. So, Denise, there's only 1 minute for you to share. Would you like that minute?
Yes, please. Thank you.
All right, you're up.
From Pennsylvania, thank you for the word denial today. I know the baffling dilemma for me was secured when I found that this disease is one of the deepest, though elusive, things, because I have to eat to stay alive. So for me to play around and control my own life, I've found that is such a that in step one, for me, learning when my why came, it's because my life had become unmanageable. Used to be able to use food, used to be able to abuse food, but something progressed. And so for me now, it's the control, because it is a spiritual solution for me as well. That it first is that my, what is mental, what is the first action? Really, for me, what is the first prayer I need to say? And then the right action will follow. Control problem for me. Surrender is the solution. And step one is the only step I need to work 100%. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Denise, for that wrap-up of a minute. Perfect share. Okay, guys, thanks to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second and recorded hour of study immediately following closing. So if you're nervous, this is a good one to step up and share. The share ID for the meeting that we just did today, June 4th, 2024, is 21457. 21457. So we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity for Serenity. Nancy R., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, it's Nancy R. from Northwest Illinois, recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation that what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny.